Welcome to Bedtime Stories with Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm Deborah, but some of my grandkids call me Nana Deb, so you can too. Hopefully you are all ready for bed. Snuggle up and let's read some stories before sleep. My Two Border Towns by David Bowles, illustrated by Erica Meza. To children everywhere who dream of freedom for themselves and their friends. At the beginning of the book, it's as if we are up high, maybe in an airplane, looking down at a city. Down through the middle of the little town or city, there is a road, and it goes out towards a river. There's a bridge over the river, and then there's another city on the other side. Every other Saturday, my dad wakes me up early. "Come on, mijo," he says, "vamos al otro lado." We see a little boy lying in a bed with a quilt on top of him that is green and white. There's a man, his father, sitting next to him on the bed, kind of touching him on the shoulder, trying to get him to wake up. On the clock, it says 6. On the dresser, there's a monkey and a lion. Not real ones, of course, stuffed ones. The other side, al otro lado, is not so far away, just down the road, right past my school. Mama gives us a kiss and a list. It's different every time we go. I grab my special bag, hold it tight as I follow Dad, thinking of what's inside for my friends. Now we see the little boy getting into a pickup truck. It's almost a purple color or gray, and his dad is still standing outside the truck getting ready to get in. And on the steps, we see his mama, who's in a pink pantsuit, and she's holding a little baby in a yellow and blue polka-dotted pajama set. As we drive through town, we pass my favorite spots. Neighbors line up early for Daisy's yummy pastries, and we see amongst the stores a taco store and a bakery and a tire store. At a stoplight, Dad calls to the newspaper man, holding out a dollar. "Aquí tiene, Don Meno." "Thanks." And the dad takes the newspaper from the man who's selling them for a dollar. Before I know it, we reach the broad river, a watery serpent that glints with the dawn. Dad reminds me Coahuiltecans once lived here, before all this was Mexico, both riverbanks. Now we're two countries. We pay to cross. "Morning," says the U.S. Customs guard, taking Dad's cash with a sleepy frown. The picture here shows us closer what it's like down at the river with that big bridge going over it. On one side, the road drives up to buildings that have different places that the cars can go through, and it has the American flag on it. But we can see on the other side of the bridge, there are similar buildings with places where the cars will drive through, and it has a Mexican flag. On the other side of the bank, the great eagle greets us. Dad waves at the soldiers, and they tip their caps. No one searches through my bag this time. I say thanks to the Virgin. The boy and his dad are in the pickup truck, and they're going through one of those different slots in the building where cars and trucks can go through. There are some arrows pointing which ones are open. Above the building, it says Aduana Reynosa. And off to the side, there's a large wall that's painted like the Mexican flag with a statue of an eagle in front of it. The sky is very blue. We drive up the narrow main street till Don Chava flags us down and helps us park. He and my dad shake hands. "Le cuido la troca," he says with a smile. "You and your boy have fun." This town's a twin of the one where I live, with Spanish spoken everywhere just the same, but English mostly missing, till it pops up like grains of sugar on a chili pepper. Now we can see a full view of the town in Mexico. The buildings are very colorful. They're not very tall. There's a trio, which means three men playing instruments, stringed instruments in the square. They're all wearing the same kind of shirts and pants. There are tamale shops and a veterinarian and agua fresca and a bakery and restaurants. We can see a bus that's coming down from another street. People are everywhere. Some of the children are on bicycles. The cars are parked along one of the sidewalks. People are sitting on the benches enjoying snacks. We have breakfast in our favorite restaurant. Dad sips café de olla while I drink chocolate. First up on the list, my dad announces, we visit your tios and pick up Mom's earrings. In this restaurant, there are so many bright and interesting colors. A lady is at a counter with a large griddle where she is putting out tortillas. A man with a red apron on is carrying a bowl that looks like salsa and a plate. On the wall, there's a little altar to a virgin, and it has colorful lights all around it. The dad is sitting at the table with the little boy, and the little boy is wearing a red and orange striped shirt now, and he's drinking what looks like orange juice, and the dad is drinking his coffee. The floor has yellow and white tiles, and on the wall, there is a red brick archway that surrounds the rest of the room. Down uneven sidewalks, our feet tap, tap, tap to trumpet tunes bouncing out of stores. We weave our way through street side stalls, chatting with vendors, promising we'll be back. Now, there's all different kinds of things being sold here. One man has a little wagon or something that he's stretched belts and cowboy hats over, and he's selling those. And there's a dentist's office. There are curios, which just means things that are curious to look at and buy. There are wagons that have food on them. Some of them are fresh fruit. One man is selling something that looks like tortillas or tacos, and he's putting meat inside of them. And you know what? There's even a man in this picture who can't use his legs. So he's sitting on what looks like a little skateboard, and he's selling something from a box on his lap. When we reach my aunt and uncle's jewelry shop, I give them big hugs and high-five my cousins. Tio Mateo starts complaining about the town mayor. My brain gets so bored. I can't stop my yawns. And here the little boy who's telling us the story is hugging one of his cousins, who's in a yellow shirt, and another boy is holding onto a soccer ball and getting ready to open the door. Outside the door, there's a dog who has green beads around his neck. The uncle is standing behind the counter where he sells his jewelry. He's wearing a blue button-up shirt, and he has different kind of beaded bracelets around his wrists. He's wearing glasses, and his hair is dark and kind of curly and long. He also has a round necklace around his neck. And at a table beside him is a little girl cousin in a blue shirt, and she is smiling as she puts a lollipop in her mouth. She has a book in front of her. On the wall, there are all kinds of earrings hanging. My primos whisk me away to play soccer in the vacant lot next door. It gets hot, so we're lucky the paletero comes by. We cool our tongues with paletas, mango, and melon. Those are like popsicles. Suddenly, Dad joins us in for a dribble and goal, and then he reminds me we have more to do. Out on the sidewalk, there are more dogs, and the man who is a paletero has a little wagon on wheels that he's pushing. It has bells on it, and The box that's on this little wagon is refrigerated, so he can sell frozen popsicles from it. Walking back, we check our list. For ourselves, we need Mexican Cokes, avocados, a jar of honey. The list says our friends need t-shirts, chanclas, bottled water. I think they need cold, sweet gansitos and lots of chewy glorias, too. And now they're at a store that sells all kinds of pop and soft drinks and candy. On one side of the picture is a shelf that has the avocados and bags of chips of some sort. There's also a video game against the corner. Dr. Sanchez has Mom's prescription ready, along with other medicine that Dad requests. Now they're in a different kind of store. And behind a counter is a man in a white shirt, and he has bagged up the prescriptions that they're going to take back to the little boy's mom. In the corner of this room, there's a skeleton, and the little boy is laughing as he holds onto the skeleton's hands and pretends to dance with it. We load up our truck. Dad gives Don Chava a tip. Before we head for home, there's one last stop. The most important visit, Dad says. We have a duty to care for our gente. I nod and pick up my bag, full of my favorite comics, notebooks, pencils, game cartridges. Now they're getting into the truck, and their friend, Don Chava, is saying goodbye to them. And we can see the other cars all beginning to line up to get ready to leave the town. The little boy begins putting things into a bag. The bag is a colorful fabric one that's orange with yellow handles. And he's putting in toys, and it looks like some snacks and candy. "I had the things we bought today. I hope all the kids will enjoy them." As we get on the bridge, Dad pulls to one side. I jump out with the bag and look for my friend. So they're not going straight across the bridge back to their hometown. Let's see what happens. A line of people camp along the edge, entire families from the Caribbean and Central America. Refugees, Dad calls them, stuck between two countries. The U.S. says there's no room, and Mexico says it can hardly look after its own gente. Gente means your own people. Eldar sees me and rushes over. His hair is longer than when we first met almost 6 months ago. In this picture, which spreads across two pages, we can see the dad pulled off to the side of the bridge in his truck, and we see the little boy who's the storyteller for us climbing over a railing onto the side of this bridge. Now, along the side of the bridge, you can see people who've made little tents for themselves, or they have mattresses that they're lying on. Some of them even have clothing hanging up on clothing lines. There are old people and younger people, babies, and whole families. And they are people that look like they come from many different countries, too. Here's a man who doesn't have, his head is shaved, but he's playing chess with a young boy who has very dark hair. We also see some other people who are just walking up along the sidewalk and ignoring these folks that are living along the sidewalk. "Acera," he shouts. "Mi guate," I reply, which means my buddy. We do our special handshake, and I give him the bag. Eldar's dad joins my dad at the truck. The line crawls on. I show Eldar each item, explaining my choices. We give his mother the medicine. She tells me a joke, and the other kids gather to borrow comics. So the mom is sort of sitting on a little stool. Her hair's pulled up in a yellow scarf, and she has a yellow t-shirt on. And there are quite a few little children hanging around who want to see what our storyteller has brought in his backpack and his bag. Comic books, bottles of water, and a toy or two. There's also a blue backpack lying on a red blanket. Dad honks. "I'll see you next time, amigo," I say, hugging Eldar and heading for the truck. An hour goes by before we're halfway across. We take out our passports, cards that give us the freedom to travel back and forth. "I wish Eldar could come to our town," I whisper. "We could jump on my trampoline and draw our own comics." "Soon, mio," my dad says. "It's unfair to make him wait, since our country has room for his family right now. But when they get their chance at last, we'll welcome them with open arms." The dad is driving the car, but he reaches over and pats the little boy on his shoulder. All the way home, I imagine a wonderful day when all my friends from the other side can go back and forth between my two border towns, just like me. We see the gray pickup truck driving off down the road, and the street that's left behind with the taco shop and the dollar mart and the bakery and other cars driving by. The end. Now, the man who wrote this book grew up in the Rio Grande Valley of South Texas. As a kid, he would regularly cross the border with his father to visit family, buy historietas, and watch movies. It's a tradition he continued with his own children, making sure they became part of the transnational community he loved so much. He's written many books that center on Mexican Americans in the borderlands. The person who drew the pictures, Erica Meza, was born in Mexico, fell in love with animation on the border with California, and developed a taste for eclairs, which are a pastry with chocolate on the top, in Paris before moving to the United Kingdom. She took her first steps to find her visual voice at the border, forever fueled by tacos. The end. Be Brave, Little Penguin, by Giles Andrier and Guy Parker Reese. As we open the book, we see a snowy place with a little tiny igloo in the middle of the page. Now, in this picture, the water, which is the ocean, is blue, but the sky is yellow and orange, and inside that igloo is a little penguin. Penguins are birds, you know, that are sometimes people say they look like they're wearing a tuxedo, but they're black and they have white chests, and there are different varieties of penguins, actually. In the cold Antarctic sunshine where the icy ocean ends, lived a family of penguins with all their penguin friends. There were fat ones, there were thin ones, there were penguins short and tall, but little penguin Pip-Pip was the smallest one of all. Here we see a bunch of these different penguins, and they're dancing along an ice floe. That's like a great big ice cube in the middle of the water. One of the penguins has little yellow feathers off the side of its head. One of the penguins looks almost like a hot dog that's black and white. One of the penguins is more gray, with black marks on its face. And little Pip-Pip has a dark face with white around his eyes, and he's tiny, tiny. And right beside him are two other penguins that are a little bit bigger. I think they may be his mom and dad. And while the other penguins were out swimming wild and free, little Pip-Pip played alone, too frightened of the sea. Names like Scaredy Pip-Pip echoed in his ears. He was sad and he was lonely, but he couldn't show his tears. This picture shows the penguins swimming and jumping around in the icy water and diving off of other ice floes. And it shows little Pip-Pip with a bunch of blocks of ice, and he's starting to build an igloo. "What's the matter, Pip-Pip?" said his daddy one fine day. "You can't be scared of water. What a silly thing to say." And the mother and father penguin are both standing by this little tiny igloo with little Pip-Pip inside, while all the other penguins are having a great time. It almost looks like they're in a swimming pool. "Be gentle," said his mommy, taking Pip-Pip by the hand. "We all have certain fears that might be hard to understand. Come on, little Pip-Pip, dip your toes in here, just so. The water's calm and still now. You can do it. Nice and slow." "But what if the water's freezing, Mommy? What if I get in and it's just too dark and deep for me? And what if I can't swim? And what if there are monsters who smell me from their den and they slither up and eat me and I'm never seen again?" At the top of the picture, we see little Pip-Pip trying very hard to swim. He's splashing a whole lot of water around. And down under the water, the pictures show all the things that he thinks might be under there, like a great big green octopus with slanty green eyes, or one of those anglerfish that have a little light that hangs off of the top of their heads. "I understand, little one," said his mommy with a kiss. "But Pip-Pip, what if now you try to think of it like this? What if in the water there are friends for you to meet? And what if it is light and warm and full of treats to eat?" And she's saying this to him while all the other penguins are having a great time still, swimming around and laughing. "Take my hand, my little one. Don't worry, I'm right here. Please trust me, little Pip-Pip. Be brave and never fear." In this picture, Pip-Pip is very, very small, and his mother looks very, very big compared to him. Slowly, Pip-Pip made his way toward the water's edge. He stared down at the ocean from the slippery, icy ledge. Then he looked back at his mommy, and as his small heart thumped, he closed his eyes, he held his breath, and little Pip-Pip jumped. Splash! This page shows little Pip-Pip up very, very close. His eyes are closed and his little orange beak is closed. And the waves that he's made by jumping in are green and blue, and there are bubbles coming up from the water too. For a while, his mommy waited. Then she cried out, "Something's wrong. Pip-Pip, please, where are you? You've been under way too long." So she leaped into the ocean, diving deep into the blue. Then suddenly from nowhere came a little voice she knew.
Mommy, Mommy, over here. Here, Mommy, look at me. I'm swimming, Mommy, swimming. Look, I'm swimming. Can you see?
She turned and, spinning circles through the water bright and clean, swam Pip-Pip with the biggest smile the world has ever seen. Now, this picture that goes across two pages shows the mama penguin on her back and the little Pip-Pip is on her tummy, and they're both laughing in the picture. And as she watched her little one right there before her eyes, he burst up through the surface and he soared into the skies. He's coming out of the blue water up into the yellow sky that I told you about earlier. And now his little beak is smiling. His eyes are crinkly closed, like sometimes happens when you laugh or smile real hard.
"Woohoo!" cried little Pip-Pip. "Look, Mommy, I can fly. It's really not that tricky. You should try it, Mommy. Try."
"Oh, Pip-Pip," laughed his mummy as she watched him with a grin. "I don't know about flying, but oh my, you've learned to swim." Then his friends all gathered round as Pip-Pip landed with a bump and said, "Sometimes all you have to do is just be brave and jump." And the end of the book shows all of them, Pip-Pip and his mom and all the friends too, and they're on an ice floe, and way off in the distance we see the little igloo that he built, but he's not in it anymore. And the water is blue and the sky is yellow and everybody's happy as can be. The end. I Am Peace, a book of mindfulness by Susan Verdi, art by Peter H. Reynolds. There's a picture on the front of the book of a little person, probably a child, barefooted, wearing purple pants and a yellow long-sleeved t-shirt that has red sleeves. Around their neck is a necklace that has the peace sign on it. On their head is a striped cap that has designs, including a peace sign on it, and their eyes are closed. Their arms are outstretched, and on the hand of each arm there is a dove holding an olive branch, which is a symbol for peace. There are times when I worry about what might happen next and what happened before. The thoughts in my head are like rushing water, and I feel like a boat with no anchor. Now, the picture shows that cap that the person is wearing, and it's beginning to ravel. It's coming apart, and it's making a wave shape. And we can see the person in a little boat sitting at the top of that wave. It's as if they're imagining that that's what's happening to them. Being carried away, and now the wave kind of tosses the boat off, and the little boat falls, and the little person falls, splash, in the water. I give myself a moment. I take a breath. And then I tell myself, it's all right. I feel the ground beneath my feet and steady myself. And now we see the person coming up out of the water where they've just gone kerplunk, and standing on a pile of dirt that's surrounded by the water. But they're balancing themselves like you do if you're trying to walk across a narrow log or something. And start to notice the here and the now. My thoughts begin to settle. My mind begins to clear. I am peace. Now the little person is standing with their arms stretched out, and the little doves are beginning to float down and rest on their hands, and the person closes their eyes. I can watch my worries gently pop and disappear. I let things go. I can say what I feel inside out loud. I know myself. All around the little person, with the bird still sitting on his hands, and also the hat, there are bubbles that are popping. They're pale pink and pale blue bubbles. I can share kindness with others. I make a difference. Here the person has a bag full of seeds, and they're holding it out so that the birds can have a snack out of the bag. I can hug a tree and thank it for its beauty and strength. I connect to nature. Now we see the person coming over to a tree, and this tree trunk is an interesting one because it's not just brown and green. It's orange and yellow and red, the trunk is.
I can watch the clouds make shapes against the sky. I know wonder. Now the little person is leaning up against the tree with their hands folded across their chest, eyes closed, and all around them are cloud shapes. I can taste and smell and touch and hear and see what is all around me. I use my senses. I can feel my breath fill my whole body. I tune into me. In one of the pictures on this page, the little person has their hands out because it's begun to rain, and there are drops of rain splashing on their hands. In the other picture, we're just seeing them very restful and calm. Now the water is still. I have found my anchor and everything is all right. I don't need to worry about before or after. I am in this moment. I am peace. Now we see a long shot picture. We see that tree that was many different colors, yellow and orange and red, and now there's a little green and blue on the tree too. We see the boat the little person had described as what their thoughts were like, and it's tied to the tree, safe and sound, and the person is still resting. Now I share my peace with others. They have the bag out of seeds, and in their hand are a couple of seeds, and one of the birds has flown down to take a bite. And I hope that it is carried away to those who need it. And now the bird flies away from the person holding the bag. And I dream, we are peace. The end. Thank you for listening to our bedtime stories. Sweet dreams.